Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading this morning and to consider this incredible event that the disciples went through, and it was by Jesus' directive that these events happened. Certainly a stressful time for them. Well, this morning the theme I hold before you is Jesus, the, with all caps, meaning exclusively, the stress reliever. And it's important for us to realize that in the times in which you and I live and the culture that we experience. I went to WebMD out of curiosity on the internet, and according to their site, 75 to 90% of all doctor's office visits are due to stress-related ailments. Things like headaches or high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin condition, asthma, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. 43%, according to their stats, 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. And as we look at our culture, as we probably look at our own lives, we can see how stressful life can be in the times in which you and I are living. Well, the good news is that the Lord is the stress reliever, and even in the worst storms of life. And Jesus certainly reveals that to us this morning in the experience that he and the disciples have together, and certainly with the disciples literally experiencing a storm, a physical storm in their lives. In Mark 6:48, we hear these words, "And Jesus saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them." Now, these guys were experienced out on the sea. They were fishermen by profession, and here they are on a very turbulent Sea of Galilee, and they're really not going all that far. They're going from the northeast shore across the Sea of Galilee over to the west central shore as Jesus had directed them to go. And yet, through the night, probably looks somewhat like that, and they're just rowing as hard as they can row. They're going against a very stiff wind, and according to the Gospel of John's account, they only gained 3 miles through almost the entire night. Can you imagine struggling like that? Boy, that would be a little bit stressful, wouldn't it? And then think about the events that happened just the day before. So it was the evening before that Jesus asked them where the food was going to come from to feed the 5,000 men. And then remember, there were probably women and children, so who knows what the total number was in that group. And then Jesus says, "Hey guys, you're the ones that are hosting this event. You feed them." And of course, man, think about the stress of that. And then, of course, Jesus performs the great miracle with the 5 loaves, wasn't it, 2 fish, and he feeds the entire group that is there miraculously, and there's even a whole bunch of leftovers. But imagine being the disciples in that situation. And then immediately after that, Jesus tells them to get in the boat and go to the other side of the sea. And it's like, oh, good, we're out of that mess. We're by ourselves. We're on the sea. We know what we're doing. And then, oh, of course, we're going to have another storm, right? And it was a very severe one. Talk about stress. Well, the disciples, in the midst of their stress at that time, they failed to recognize Jesus, which is pretty incredible. They were in his physical presence, and yet at that time they failed to recognize him. And they failed to remember, perhaps, that Jesus was the one that told them to do this. So it's not like, you know, that Jesus didn't know what was going to happen. He knows all things. He knew this storm would be horrendous. And yet Jesus directs them to go in the boat and cross the sea. Well, the disciples, they fail horribly in this object lesson that Jesus gives to them. They still didn't get it. Even after the feeding of the 5,000, miraculously, we hear in the gospel account this morning, they were hardened. They didn't see the miracle. They didn't see and understand the power of Jesus' presence among them. They failed to recognize Jesus in the storm. In fact, even when Jesus is walking by them on the water, boy, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? They think he's a ghost. They don't even see and acknowledge that it's Jesus. They are stressed out. But before we're too hard on those disciples of old, maybe we need to look at ourselves a little more honestly, right? And you know, in recent times, we've literally had physical storms that could perhaps stress us out. You know, I was blessed to drive a car for 30 years, 500 plus thousand miles, and had been in hail country the whole time. Never had it hailed on. I always was able to get it under something. Then I get a used car, but it's just beautiful. It's like brand new. And a year, less than a year and a half, it gets pummeled by hail. Golf ball sized hail. That can cause a little stress. But that's minor if you're farming in the area where there's hail. Your whole crop, your whole income is out there. And just in a matter of minutes, the income for the year can easily be wiped out. And we know the homes that have been destroyed by floods and fires in this state, as well as in many parts of the country and the world, people deal with the physical storms, and it's very stressful. Joyce just got back from Houston, and they're still rebuilding schools and various things down there after a year of the hurricane that was there, and it's stressful. Those are the literal storms, but how about just the issues of life? And what's the stress you're under today? You know, and we all are in a different place as we gather here. For some, maybe it's a financial stress. For others, maybe it's strained relationships. For others, maybe it's health battles. Pick your poison, if you will. Maybe it's overextending ourselves. What I hear today is we just don't have enough time, which really renounces, when you think about it, the creator of time. Or maybe it's loneliness or boredom. Or maybe it's the tragic loss of a loved one to death, and especially if it's a child. Life throws those huge storms of stress at us. And then we have the spiritual storms in the midst of them, don't we? And so the temptations come in, the doubts come into our lives, and we can even be angry with God. You ever shaken your fist at God? We've probably all been there at some point or another. So really, we're not much different, are we, than those disciples in that boat? And we, like the disciples in the storm, we think that it's all on our own shoulders. We think, man, these are heavy burdens. I got to carry this all by myself. And then what we do is we just increase the stress tenfold or a hundredfold. So where do you turn for relief? Because we all want relief from it, right? And the real question is where do we turn? You know, a lot of addictive behaviors come out of stress. It's like, I just can't take it anymore. I can't handle the pain. I can't handle just this heavy load. And so it may be alcohol or drugs to ease the pain. And that becomes a stress reliever, a stress reliever. But then what happens is it just intensifies the stress, because now I've got an addiction that I also have to deal with in the midst of everything else that is going on. And it can become so overwhelming that suicide may be a stress reliever. I can't take life anymore, I'm just going to end it. And we ponder those things, and I think the ifs, the IFSs come up. Oh, if I had a better life, if I had a better job, if I had a spouse who really loved me, if. And the stress levels just pick up. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are no match for the storms, whatever style they are, that come to us in life. And that's not a statement of weakness. That's actually a statement of truth and genuineness and acknowledgement that we are not strong enough in and of ourselves. We cannot deal with and handle these kinds of stresses. The disciples in that boat, there's no way they could handle that storm by themselves. But too often, our eyes are blind and our hearts are hard to simply turn to God, who is always with us. And so though the disciples and we lose sight of Jesus, Jesus had not and does not lose sight of us. And isn't that great news? There's nothing you and I can do that Jesus is just going to write us off. But instead, he chooses to enter the storms with us. And I love that rendition. Jesus steps right into the raging storm. And did you hear it in this gospel account? Immediately he spoke to them and said, and this is like where Jesus was positionally with them, and he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then I love this next part. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. You see, Jesus has the power to do these kind of things. And so there he is. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." They were blessed to hear his voice, and then they were blessed to have Jesus, the very Son of God, the Almighty God himself in the flesh, get in the boat with them in the midst of their absolute stressful situation. What a Lord and God we are blessed to know, and to know we are loved by him. And what happens as a result? You know, I think of that goofy song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," years ago, and there was no substance to it. Well, when Jesus says, "Take heart, do not be afraid," there's substance to Jesus' words, because he doesn't just say, "Don't be afraid." But what does he add to that? "It is I." It is I, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is I who is with you, and I love you. And the disciples knew Jesus' love for them. And once Jesus was in the boat with them, everything changed. The wind ceased. They kept rowing, and we hear that they safely reached their destination the next morning, and ministry went on by Jesus' design. But what changed in that situation? It was Jesus' presence. And by the way, he initiates it, doesn't he? We don't hear the disciples calling for the Lord to come to them, but Jesus makes himself available to them. And you know, it's no different for you and me, his disciples, today, because whatever you feel you are overwhelmed with today, stress-wise, I can assure you the Lord is making himself available to you. In fact, he's already done it in the most incredible way. And I love this picture with the cross and the storm, because Jesus came into our broken, sinful world, into our broken and corrupted and sinful and doubting lives, and he came here to deliver us. And he did it by becoming one of us. He did it by not staying nice and neat and clean in heaven, but by placing himself in a very filthy world corrupted by sin. And he allowed the filth of our sin to be dumped on him. And not only ours, but the whole world's, for God so loved the world, we hear in Scripture. There is no one who is uncovered by God's offering. His will is that everybody would receive what he has already presented to us. And he's fully aware of whatever circumstance you are in at this very moment. How comforting is that? I'd like us to pull out Psalm 139. If you just pull out your hymnals, we'll all be in the same. It's the ESV. If you have your Bible and it's ESV, you can read from there. But the Psalms are printed in the front of the hymn books. And God just affirms to us in so many ways his presence. But I want you to read with me Psalm 139. And I want you to think of that in light of the scene on the screen. Are you there with me? Psalm 139. Let's read. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. And we'll stop there. But I hope when you get home today, you'll read the whole song. But look at those words. God knows what we're going to speak before we ever say a word. He already knows what's on our tongue. And he hems us in behind and before. It's like God just hangs on to us. Doesn't force his hug, but he makes his hug available to us. And in his loving arms, we are safe, no matter what the storm may be. And then we hear, as we go on, in Romans 8, 26 and 7, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Have you ever had a time in your stressful situation, it's like, I don't even know what to pray for? It's okay, because you're in a prayerful spirit, and the Spirit is speaking the words that need to be heard. That's how intimately the Lord is involved in his church. It's through faith in the cross, through faith in what Jesus has done, that it personally becomes our own. You may think, well, it's easy to be said, Pastor, but you don't know my life. You know, how could God possibly want to make himself available to me in light of whatever? Well, just think of John 4. Read that today, too. The Samaritan woman at the well, remember her? Out there at high noon to get water, who makes himself available in the heat of the day? Jesus. She's there because of the scorn of the community. They all look down on her. And Jesus points out, even to her, I'm aware of your condition. You've been divorced 5 times, and now the guy you're living with isn't even your husband. But the Lord doesn't walk away from the woman at the well. In fact, the Lord made himself intentionally available at the well before she came. Why? She was stressed out. She needed Jesus, and Jesus was there for her and revealed himself to her. And this scorned woman of the community went back to the community and became a great evangelist. We hear in John 4, 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Isn't that cool? Jesus totally turned a situation around in her life. And he does it ongoing. He does it with you and me as well, if we'll only listen. Jesus totally changes the storms. One of those precious passages in Scripture is from Matthew 11, 28, where Jesus says, come to me, I mean, there's the Lord available. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And that rest means peace. It means relief from the stress. Very rich word, rest. Or I think of Psalm 46, God is our refuge, a safe place. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's in your boat of life with you as he is with me. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's his promise. He is exclusively the stress reliever. And I'm so glad you're here to worship this morning in the midst of stress and to hear the Lord's voice. Well, my car got hailed. 5 feet away, you can't even tell. Insurance standards, it was total. And they really paid a nice price to me for my car. I got to keep the car. And there were some financial things Lindy and I were dealing with. It was just like that stress went away, just like that. Now, some people would walk up and look at this car and say, it looks like a golf ball. But when I look at that, it's like, God, it's just a physical testimony of your availability to me and Lindy. What a stress reliever. The stress reliever. I'd like to close with this prayer, and I don't know where I found it. It was on my notes. But it goes like this. I love it. Lord, calm the tempest, open our eyes, and create within us faith to recognize you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.